Yeah, and we sure would hope that the VA would give all the veterans a little bit of respect. It continues to get worse and worse by the day as we talk about it. And I don't think it's going to end. We've had individuals that have died in the ERs. We have individuals die in parking lots in the VA hospitals. We've had individuals die in cafeterias. And nonsense goes on and on. Well, as I was getting ready, I was watching the news a few minutes ago, and all of a sudden realized, hey, it's 45 years ago today where Apollo 11 supposedly landed on the moon the first time. When I was sitting on Anderson Air Force Base Guam between ArcLight missions, and next thing we know, we're watching this happen. Denise, where were you that day?
Well, I was in nursing school in Houston, Texas, and typical nursing school at that time, your TV was downstairs in the common living area, and remember getting back from one of the labs or one of the classes, and they had the TV on, and everybody was gathered watching the activity and just wowed, you know, out of sight, wow.
I mean, you were in Texas where all this is happening. You were in nursing school and lived around there, so did you get to know any of the astronauts or deal with any of them?
Well, you know, in fact, I met a couple when I went, you know, when I was active duty and got to Wolford Hall. And some of them would come down there for their checkups, and I met a couple then. So it happens, you know, weirdest of times. You run into people and meet them and realize they're famous and you're just there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it didn't pay much attention to it, and I'm watching the news tonight and earlier today, and they said 45 years ago, and I'm going, well, yeah, you know, we weren't paying a whole lot of attention. We were working 12-hour days and arc light missions and bombing Vietnam at that time.
A lot of anniversaries right now. I mean, TWA 800 went down, you know, yesterday, I think, was that anniversary. 2 years ago, we had the Aurora movie theater shootout. So that's something that everybody in Colorado remembers, is the massive craziness at the Aurora theater. So, you know, every day there's, you know, historical facts, I guess, on every day that we come across.
Something like that. Well, you got a whole lot of updates and everything we want to work on. Hopefully David and Keith can also call in.
Yeah, I've sent out a message to them with the call-in number. Hopefully they will. And as they do, guys, just speak up. Let us know you're there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of up to you and them tonight to guide. You were the ones who are at the meetings and have all the info, and I was not there. I was a little bit swamped.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to cover a couple of things, and I hope, veterans, I hope you have a pencil and paper out. Because some of the activities I've done lately, traveling around and missing the show or trying to tap in for a few minutes, I wanted to share with others to get them involved. Now, I was up in Orange, New Jersey, and went through two studies up there. In fact, three, because control for the OIF group. In Orange, New Jersey, they've got a mitochondrial study going, and they need 75 people. Okay, 75 Gulf War vets. It's a two-day study, one night paid in a hotel, which is a very, very, very nice, a beautiful residency inn out in West Orange, New Jersey. And they can give you up to $100 in travel. I won't cover all your expense, but, you know, it's an excellent study. Okay, excellent. I recommend the study. And to get in, the person that will screen you, get you approved, is Duncan, is his name. And Duncan is a Gulf War vet himself and an OIF vet. So he's one of us, very nice, nice individuals doing the study. The phone number to call Duncan and get in is East Orange, New Jersey, RIS number 973-676-1000. I'll repeat that, 973-676-1000. And his extension, Duncan, is 1481. Now, the mitochondrial studies are the newest thing. Dr. Glom has had one study published that was pretty awesome. Wish I could have been in hers. They've had a state-of-the-art part one conference with Glom there and everybody else they are having a part two soon. So we are looking at the energy cell of the body. People look up mitochondrial disease, read about it a little bit. It matches a lot of our symptoms, and I think it will help us a lot participate in a study. Another study that's going on up there is the chronic fatigue study, and they're including GUT4 vets that have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. Amanda is a person you should reach out to up there for that, to be screened and be in the study. And what they do with this is the Kessler Foundation has funded this, they got funding for the study, but they're looking at scans, okay, the MRI scans and all that. So that's a good study to participate in. They need people to cooperate and get in the study. Anybody GUT4 vet with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, can get into this study. Okay? And that would be Amanda up at the War-Related Illness in Orange, New Jersey. I'm kind of scanning to get her phone number extension. It'd be the same basic number. And when you get through, you can always ask for the chronic fatigue study, Amanda. Okay. Her extension, again, it's 973-676-1000, which is the New Jersey RIST number, extension 3377. Amanda is the one that screens for that. And basically, I think they're paying $75 and get you put up if need be for the night also. There's a third study you can cooperate as a control for OIF-OEF, and that's a BLAST study. And they do the, it's a platform you stand on. They are all hooked in safety-wise. The platform moves around, you know, the bottom of it moves around, the walls of it move around. They do some autonomic nervous testing, nervous system, where they have all the stuff on your head. They do some membrane testing, dizziness for your ears. What else did they do? And they need control. So the GUT4 vets that have had no blast injury can cooperate as a control on that. And the OIF and OEF veterans that may have had blast concussions, they're looking to get them in. This is a study for them. And I think basically about $97 to cooperate and be their test subject or control subject. So they try to do what they can. It won't cover all your travel expenses, but definitely if you're up in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Indiana, Ohio, can drive in, please help them. Let's get these studies done.
I mean, they're pretty important because we know the mitochondrial, when the energy store, I mean, that's where everything's happening in the cell.
Yeah.
And we know that those are already damaged. We already know from previous testing on ourselves and others and reports we've read that we know that cellular nutrition is bad. We know that perfusion is bad. We know that removal of the byproducts is bad. And all this contributes, leads right into the fibromyalgia and leads right into chronic fatigue.
And the other studies, just mentioning, we have East Carolina and Greenville, North Carolina, Dr. Maggs' study. If you're interested in that, contact Allison Manhart at 252-744-5568. And they're doing blood tests and some controls on a possible treatment trial there. The last time I knew, they needed 20 more GUT4 vets to cooperate. So that's East Carolina University with Dr. Maggs, who is a medical toxicologist, and you've met him too, Doug. He's a professor of emergency medicine over there.
Bill Maggs?
Uh-huh.
He said, if I remember distinctly, when we were all looking at our blood under the various thing, he was freaking out because he saw that at that research conference in Dallas. And he said, we got to do something about this. He's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
He is excellent. So that number again to get into his study, or one that he got involved with, is Allison Manhart, 252-744-5568, and that's East Carolina in Greenville, North Carolina. Let's see if there's others recruiting here. I'm just giving you guys an update on the studies. Georgetown is doing a study. Now, they were funded to do the study for civilians for chronic fatigue using the FMRI-DT, but apparently we're getting a few more Gulf War vets through that at the same time. So I need to call in and check on that. Let me get to a phone number for that one. I'll be coming back to that. There's also free hyperbaric treatment going on up in Oklahoma, that they're doing a study with the Oklahoma vets, and that's an excellent idea.
For people that don't understand hyperbaric medicine, I mean, when we get hyperbaric, we've got two, like the altitude chamber and then the hyperbaric.
Mm-hmm.
And the hyperbaric is where basically they're increasing the partial pressures of our oxygen to increase perfusion into the cell. A lot of times hyperbaric medicine is being used for carbon monoxide poisoning and other poisonings where, again, and also where they have a lot of tissue destruction and everything else, but they got to get the oxygen perfusion all the way up. And so putting under pressure forces that oxygen, partial pressures, the oxygen directly into the cell.
And so if you're interested in that, go to www.patriotclinic.com, and you'll find all the information you need about the Oklahoma City effort in the Oklahoma City area. And this is just fantastic. They've used this also World Trade Center. Study has... they've used it with the World Trade Center people on hyperbaric. So I think that's an excellent, excellent thing to try. We also have up in Albany, New York, the Hubbard treatment where they're doing some detoxification. And so that's going on at the University of Albany. Phone number is 518-442-3300. If you guys are interested, and on Facebook, I put all these studies up that are recruiting and who to contact, what they're doing. And it's called Gulf War Research and Connective Research Study Recruitment. So I list them all there, keep a running list of how you can get in and who to contact. But those are the biggies right now. Albany, they can't really put you up, and it's like a six-week program, so mainly people that live up in that area of Albany, New York. And that's a DOD CDMRP-funded study. There's going to be more studies coming up, you know, out of Florida and Boston, the consortiums that have been developed. Dynamic things are happening. Last I heard that it looked like we were getting our funding through the year that goes through the DOD CDMRP on the defense appropriations. Looks like we may maintain our funding at $20 million a year. We're really focused on getting to treatment trials. But other things that are going on, they have the mouse models. They have the mouse models. They are using them. Using them to run through possible treatment trials, doing with the animals first. And that's what needs to be done. So we're really focusing on treatment, people. Okay? The War-Related Illness Center out in California, Palo Alto, has a magnetic RTMS study going on for Gulf War illness to see if it'll help. So that would be the War-Related Illness Center in Palo Alto. Phone number, you can just Google War-Related Illness, pull up the Palo Alto Center, give that number a call. You'll connect with the right people right off the bat, okay? So there's a lot going on. Doug, I have been really pushing for people to, if they're PTSD, they need to be checking out the vet centers, which are separate from the VA. Vet centers were picked up by the Vietnam vets. They were actually organized and pushed for by the Vietnam vets. It's separate from the VA. They do a lot of counseling. They get, include their spouses. If you just Google vet centers, you'll get the address, and you'll see what services they provide. There's also a national locator. My God, they're into every area of the country, every small area. I highly recommend vets with PTSD to contact them. Use them. Use the vet centers. It's totally different than what you'll get at the VA hospital.
Well, they're still, they're VA employees, but they're in a different section under the vet center.
Yeah, they originally were not even VA employees when they first started, Doug. And then as it progressed, I guess the VA, you know, helps cover them. But they're actually very independent and really want to help the vets. And so, you know, get on your Google, Google vet centers. You will find a description of what they're all about, what services they offer. You can then click on the left icon that says National Directory. It will come up and list the states. Pick on the state you're in, and then just look at all the facilities. They're usually closer than a VA facility.
Well, you know? Some of the vet center here, I know in Illinois, we've got a the vet center has a mobile bus that comes around, where they'll literally come out and meet you in an area. You don't have to go to their location. They'll set up a meeting and come to where you can meet them. Yeah. In other words, you're not having to travel. They'll travel to find you.
Right.
But again, it's the same thing. We're looking at basic counseling and not resolution of problems. So.
Now, Doug, we had a hearing this past week that occurred on veterans' benefits. That was in the news, and you can pull it up on cspan.org. on their archives and watch it. There's been two hearings lately, one with Acting Secretary Gibson. One was the VA benefits, and they also have one on PTSD. These are late-night hearings. They've gone primetime, people. And then you can see them later in the night on the reruns on C-SPAN, or get on your computer to cspan.org on their archives and pull it up there.
Yeah, these hearings are being held kind of basically in the evening, aren't they?
Yeah. They start about 7 o'clock their time, and they go until midnight or after. They're really on the ball up there. And, you know, I'm also the confirmation hearing, the Senate confirmation hearing will be happening next week. So tune in and listen and watch. Make your opinion of what the guy is that's up for confirmation. What's his name? McDonald, I think. Trying to remember off the top of my head. It may be wrong. But his confirmation hearing will be next week. So that's a biggie. And, Doug, you know what? I think we have to give them time to turn this scandal around. Okay? Yeah, have they been bad boys and bad girls, and, you know, has it been just systematic failure? Yes, but we've known that for years. Doug and I have talked about it.
We've met with multiple VA secretaries one-on-one on this also.
But I'll give you a heads up, Doug. I got a phone call from him today on a Sunday from Cheyenne VARO. On a Sunday, I couldn't get answers. I had my county and my state veterans affairs running in circles trying to figure out what was going on. And no one could get answers. My VSO had a VSO number, call up there. He called, called 800 number. I mean, we were trying to figure out what they were lost, what was lost on my claim, what the heck was going on. And I got a personal phone call today on a Sunday. They are working overtime. And let me tell you, this guy was polite. He was nice. He was approachable. He had worked with the DAV for years before he came to the VA, which I didn't ask him if he was a disabled vet, but most of the DAV people that are service officers have been disabled vets. He's worked for the VA for 15 years now. I was shocked. But they are working overtime, people. They have been authorized overtime. I never expected a phone call like this. They don't know what I've done, who I am. They're finding out. But, you know, I think more and more people are going to hopefully have this kind of interaction occur. If they're not, I know one of our Gulf War vets out of Muskegee VA in Oklahoma has had a bad go of it lately. My recommendation to him was get in touch with his congressman, get a new CMP done, and go to the main VA hospital in Oklahoma. You know, we're having trouble getting our CMP people educated, our primary care doctors educated. That's going to be a big push. And they're
I mean, the education has been a big push from day one, but the philosophy and everything, we have to go back to the original discussion, the original decisions that were made.
Yeah.
And if we come back to that original discussion, we've talked about it ad nauseum in this program. We've talked about it in documentaries all over. We've talked about it when we've testified. And it comes back to the same thing, admitting what happened and why it happened, and marching forward to provide the necessary care based on solid research and medical evidence. But you can't get care and treatment when people are...
I think the VA has needed a shakeup, and I think it's happened. Thank you, CNN, for staying on the story. I hope they get back to it and cover Gulf War. And I will say, Kaufman covered the Gulf War issue in the last hearing on benefits. He nailed retired female general Hickey, and who is secretary, you know, undersecretary, you know, for benefits. He went through the regulation for Gulf War. He talked about the denial rate. From the time that we were not being mentioned, we got mentioned. And people need to be grateful for that. Our Gulf War vets need to continue their work, working with their representatives, their senators, their local media. If you're not getting satisfaction, call the VA OIG. Notify them. Copy whatever you notify them of what's happening to the chief of staff of the VA hospital you're going to. Copy to your own U.S. representative, to your two U.S. senators, and to your newspaper, and to your local TV station.
One of the things that I found here and is helping in East Central Illinois is we're providing the newspaper folks with the actual documents. So here are the copies of the medical directives. Here are the confirmations of the medical protocols in place. Here are the internal written VA and Department of Defense orders and directives for medical care and acknowledging it. Here's the hidden stuff, you know, on the physician's guidance. And as they're seeing this, they're more and more becoming awake. One thing that has popped up, and again, we've seen this before, not all congressional staff knew that this information was out there, and they weren't providing it, so they're sitting there working in a limbo without knowing it. And what I'm seeing is once they get a hold of these internal documents, they start distributing them out to everybody, which is helping everybody and their brother, and that's putting the VA under notice because senior leadership in the VA definitely withheld information from the individual staff members down at the individual hospitals and the medical treatment teams. I mean, that's nothing new. And I'm not sure that's going to change yet.
Do we need more people cleaned out and shook up? Yeah, we still need a lot more cleaning out to be done. We need to push our issue on Gulf War illness, that education has to be done to the primary care teams across the board and to the VARO. You know, they need education, too. The person I talked to today is actually one of the trainers in Cheyenne. So we, you know, got started on a good conversation. We're going to have a follow-up in about a week. But, you know, there are good people in the system, too, okay? It's trying to find the good people that are there to help. and we need to clean out the deadwood. I have to say, when I was in Orange, New Jersey, I got really frustrated one morning. I knew that they were going to draw some blood work. So the guy that gave me a ride in, you know, from the hotel that day was in the war-related illness to be seen. And he had gone downstairs to get lab work. So I automatically went down thinking, you know, they're going to draw some lab work. I'll check in with them first before I go upstairs. They had to throw your ID card into a box. I tried to talk to the lady that was there, who is an African-American female. She was rude. I don't know whether it's just New Jersey or what. I was being very nice, and I said, listen, you know, I'm down here, but I'm not sure they put the order in. Would you at least take a minute and check so I don't have to sit here and be in your way, waiting with other people? If you just check and tell me, I'll go on upstairs if you don't have the order. She just bluntly told me, go sit down. Put your card in here. Well, that I did sit down and wait. Then I got called up by the person that took her place, African-American male, and I'm being very respectful and trying to explain again, would you pull up and see if there's an order. There ended up not being an order, and that's all I wanted to know. Do you have an order here? Do I need to wait here, or should I go on upstairs? And I was being very polite, and they were being rude.
I think that's too, I mean, what I've seen too often, Sarah, I mean, it's, they're trying to avoid doing the job.
Well,
at the same time, they don't have the information necessary.
Some of them need a customer relations type course that you don't growl at people. You have your right tone in your voice to be a helpful person and say, well, you're right, let me check real quick for you, and we can take care of you real quick, you know, and send you on your way or keep you while we wait for your chance to have your blood drawn. A lot of it's customer or client relations and being polite. They are there to serve veterans. They need to be reminded of that.
Well, see, that's what I think one of the big problems, this is where it comes down to, the idea that they are working for us and helping us has somehow been lost on too many of them, and they look at it as a thing, well, we're here and we're doing you a service.
Yeah, and
you know,
then,
and it's as if it's a big benefit, sort of like what happened to me when our team and the DU team went up to Baltimore, the DU center up there,
uh-huh.
And it was like, well, we don't really have to do it, but we're doing you a service, and wait a minute, we know what the order requirement are because we put it in place, so don't tell us you're doing us a favor by doing this. You're required to do, and you were required to do this all along, and you didn't do it.
So, you know, I know veterans get angry, and their frustrations flare. That's not going to help, okay? What's going to help is get their names. You report it, you write down what happened, you turn it in to the people right there in their chain of command to be dealt with, okay, and you follow up. I was so surprised today, and I have been nicely surprised at, you know, war-related illness in D.C. and over in Orange, and, you know, it's changing, Doug. God, it takes time, and we're impatient, and we've gone through so much. But it changes when the vets stay calm, try to explain this to people. If they don't respond in like order to our being very polite, then you get their name, and you write them up and say, you know, they need some corrective action. We don't deserve to be treated that way. We're patients, we're clients, we're veterans. And, you know, we have to hold them accountable, but in order to do that, we need to do our work. One of the things I did when I came back from the RAC meeting was I took a copy of the RAC report to the VA hospital in Denver. You know, I take those and distribute them all over the place, University of Colorado.
We've been doing that a lot, and I know senior administrators within the VA didn't get real happy when we distributed those reports that they wanted to control.
And I took it down. I was outside the admin. There was no one around. I kept going, hello, hello, anybody here? You know, I guess they were in a meeting. And one of the assistants said, can I help you, you know, from across the hall? And I said, yes. I wanted the chief of staff to have this report, and here's one copy, but you can go online, and here's a link to it. I'd really like to get the word out throughout the VA here in Denver. You know, if you can spread it beyond there, that's nice. And here's a link that you can notify everybody. And she was going to send it out to all the VA staff people there at Denver VA of the link, and to please pay attention. I haven't followed up with her to get a copy to be sure she did, but I have no reason to doubt when she assured me and she thanked me. And that's one of the things. When it starts turning around people, it will turn around. It will be like when I went up to the magnetic encephalography study in Minneapolis. It was so nice to go in there, and the staff, without being prodded or anything else, immediately acknowledged us as GEF-4 vets, apologized for how we've been treated, that they are not the same. They believe there's something there, and they're trying to help us find it.
You know,
it was an acknowledgement. It turns the whole world around when you have the good communication. Like I said to that person that called me from Cheyenne, I was shocked. I was, you know, very definitely happy to talk to somebody and finally get answers. He was apologizing. You know, it was a totally different tone. And it was a communication. And we got into a little communication there, even though he was working on a Sunday and trying to do things, and we're going to follow up again. But I said, this is what is needed. You guys need to take the few minutes to reach out to the veterans, not to be removed from them, not to communicate with them, even if they have a VSO, to make a call and say, I'm the one that has your claim. Is there any questions you have? Is there anything I can settle for you or help you with? It's that kind of cooperative nature that we need that has been missing for years, decades, you know. And this can be turned around with simple, positive communication techniques. It can turn around and make things better. And I truly want the VA to be successful. I truly want them to turn around and be able to hear their vets and to hear their frustration and be able to take that and turn it around to a positive. You know, when so much has gone wrong, they have to respond. This is a starting point.
Rollo went in the other day, and he emailed me, Rollo Doff, Sergeant First Class Rollo Doff, legendary Vietnam to Desert Storm. I mean, there's no way to describe this guy's contributions to the U.S. Army. He went in to get into the new registry, and back into the same problem again. Well, we don't know what it is. We'll have to find out. We don't know when they're going to give us information. Well, can you find out? No, they'll let us know. And so we're still running into the same problems where the vet is having to do more of the education to the provider and tell the provider the information is out there, instead of provider taking the wherewithal and the initiative to go out there and acquire the information and provide that to the vet and take care of them. I mean, we're still seeing that problem, and I'm hearing that over and over again, and I've experienced it over and over again. And that's when the vet is sick and ill and having problems, and they happen to go in and do more education to get proper care and treatment and provide the information to the practitioner, where the practitioner, you know, beyond 8 to 4 doesn't want to do anything more. I mean, that's inexcusable in my mind. I don't have any more room for it. I mean, we've had multiple individuals that have died here locally after being denied care in the VA, and, the bill have to be paid on all that, but still, it's inexcusable. The Vietnam vet is still struggling with Agent Orange, and we've had two that we know of that died after denied care in the VA hospitals while they were in the VA hospital.
Yeah. I think we just have to keep our nose to the wheel, keep pushing for improvement, and for sure, Doug, you and I and others have been working on this for decades now. We're not giving up. We're going to keep at it, and we have to, I think we're going to see some results. It takes time. It's frustrating, but we just have to stay in there, people, and that goes for each and every vet.
I think, and I'm hoping, again, the War Injuries Clinic is one of the primary avenues out of this mess. I mean, you've got the team up in Washington, who you and I both know. You now know the East Orange guys. We've worked with them.
Yeah, and, apparently I'm getting around to everybody. I also want to say hi to David Spencer and Tom. I was out of town. I had family time. My sister-in-law, who was Peace Corps, plant biologist and a high school teacher for years, that retired twice. I think she's retired permanently from teaching high school now in College Station, celebrated her 70th birthday. So we were down there as a family time. Coming back through Dallas, I got to see Dr. Johnson and Dr. Kipples. I didn't get over to Dr. Ray this time. But I also met with David Lapel Spencer, one of our GUF-4 vets that's been laid up lately because he had a broken leg, now on crutches. But he brought one of his fellow unit members. So we met for an early lunch. You know, many of us reach out and do so much, and David's reaching out and finding more members of his unit. When I come through town, you know, he and I try to coordinate and at least meet one more person and try to help them and guide them. So, you know, even on a family trip when I'm running around Texas, I end up, you know, I'll try to squeeze anybody in I can for coffee or whatever to help them. And you do a lot of that. I know a lot of us do it online, by phone, by emails, by Facebook. And each of the GUF-4 vets, we've got a role to play. And part of it's being informed. And right now on GUF-4 illnesses, what I've done is I pulled up the presentations of the last couple of RAC meetings of the researchers going through the strategic research plan. And basically, over the last two meetings that the RAC had, they were going through that. Animal research, Dr. O'Halloran presented, Fiona's group out of Florida with animal research. And what I'm doing is posting those links, because people either don't know to go and check these sites and look at research or whatever, but I try to provide that as an education to them of what is currently going on with the researchers, where we're looking to, where we're making progress, okay? And so I've got a lot of the links from the minutes that are all up to date now. All the presentations are there. I went back and included two of the presentations from the magnetic encephalograms that they're doing in Minneapolis for the research. Dr. O'Callaghan's presentation, Dr. Klimas' presentation, Dr. Leah Steele, each of the presentations I've brought up, given the link. I truly feel, people, you need to do your reading, which means if you never did any of the reading, you got a lot of reading to catch up on. You've got to go to the Regal Report, the Rockefeller Report. Those were our starting points. They're like Bibles. Then you go to Congressman Shea's report, the investigative reports that were done on the Hill, the Presidential Advisory Committee report, the Special Presidential Oversight Board, the IOM studies, the GAO studies that show about our gas mask and all. You've got to be informed of where we've been, where we've gone, what we've done as far as legislation trying to help. Is it perfect yet? No. It never will be, but you have to keep taking things, you know, in step to keep making improvements. But you've got to read this, people. It may be, you know, high gobbledygook for some with research, but, you know, you can pick out a few things that you can understand and get an idea of where we're going. And in order to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want to help find answers, not only for myself, but my fellow vets, which means give me a chance to participate in the research. I'll do everything I can.
You know, one thing, and I mean, as information education, we've got to push this out. I mean, Gary Nolan, his work that he did on the documentaries, critical. I mean, everybody, guys, if you haven't got copies, you need to get copies. Get those to your legislators. Get those out to your VA staff members wherever you're getting care. So you got the stuff that Gary did, Killing Our Own, and all the stuff he did on homelessness. The other thing, too, Joyce Riley's in the Power Hour, Beyond Treason. You've got to get that stuff done. You and I were both involved with Chris Shays and everybody else and Jim Tude when
If you go to YouTube, there's a lot of the official hearings right there on videotape. Shays' hearing that I appeared at least one of them is out there I know of. A lot of them are there on YouTube. You can sit there and listen to them. You can go to cspan.org for the current hearings. People, you have to do this. Not only do you have to do it for yourself to be more knowledgeable and think about what you can do to help yourself, okay, besides your claim, you know, how you can use this to put together something to kind of, you know, guide your doctors along or your U.S. rep or your senator. It's an educational process for everybody. It starts with a vet, you know, and it goes from there. Each vet can be so instrumental, Doug. If we took the power in our hands, whether you're sick or not, I mean, what I do, yeah, I do a lot, but you could do the same thing, you know, which means, like, I took the Iraq report and the CDMRP folder about, you know, what research is going on in general and the link and all to put in for research. I took it to the University of Colorado to the vice chancellor that is over all the research, and I said, would you distribute this to, like, the teams dealing with neurology, immune diseases, you know, I know you've got good people at University of Colorado. We need the best people out there. You know, take it to your universities and get it to the right person. We have dental needs. What if we started attacking the dental universities and had them get involved and get a study on what's going on with the dental issues or the eye issues, okay?
The eye issues are, I mean, that's significant. It continues, as does the hearing and the dental issues we've got. And all those are tied together back into the mitochondria studies because of the nutrition. But we've got so much decalcification and dephosphorization from the toxic compounds, and then also the big problem with the medications that we're given. I mean, so there is just a whole host of stuff. And somehow, I feel like it's all evaporating and disappearing, and the people that should know and should have the info in order to provide better care don't have it or are not interested in getting it.
Veterans can be the power for change, okay? We may be sick, but we can get this information, print it off, and then think, what do I have available in my town? It doesn't hurt to try. All I can say is, no, we have no one to contribute. You know, but you can also get yeses and get somebody involved that can just, you know, surprise us, you know, out of one of the universities, of getting them connected to the other researchers and the other people, and we'll get answers so much faster. Not only that, but, you know, get them educated that the veterans need them. And, you know, what I've noticed happening with the VA scandal is we have some outside people becoming involved and saying, you know, different states, I've seen it, you know, written up. I haven't called and asked, but I've pulled out the articles and put it on my read file group on the Facebook. But I've seen some of that come out of, in this state, these civilian groups are going to get involved and help, you know. Whether they're getting money for it or not, you know, they want to help. And I think there's quite a lot of people that want to help and help the VA to get out of this mess that they got themselves into because they were understaffed. Let's be honest. They were understaffed.
You know, when you look at the understaffing, that's definitely a problem, and it still continues to be a problem, and the good people are trying to get by it. I know that's for sure here. But the other thing, too, I got to come back to it. I really got to come back to it. And this is where we need the massive change, and I know we've all been working on it, and lots of people are working on it, is that entire philosophy change, that entire attitude and outlook of, okay, yeah, this all happened, and now we've got to figure out how can we make life better for all the vets.
Well, you know, we've been paying tribute to Steve Robinson.
Yeah. We've all been doing that, you know, I mean, dedicated shows to him.
And Steve got out there and raised Cain about Walter Reed, about Fort Carson. And, you know, changes were made. Doug, Walter Reed hasn't had, I mean, they've moved out now to Bethesda and all, but we haven't heard disgruntled feelings from there. You know, if it is, it's being covered up for sure, but... I mean, we were hearing it when it was happening, and
Steve yelled at the top of his lungs, and Steve was totally on the inside with Rotzker and Kilpatrick, too.
Yeah. And I know he tried quietly before he, you know, went to the loud. Well, Doug, you and I need to get in touch with CNN again and see if we can get them to start covering the Gulf War issue again.
Yeah, we worked with them. One thing that struck me weird tonight, and again, they're having all this stuff about, you know, the airliner that got shot down. Well, hey, fly through a war zone, and nobody knows who you are. You're going to get shot down.
My heart breaks. I want to take a minute, Doug. You know, there were so many children on that flight, so many people, but some of the best researchers in the AIDS world, Dr. Lang from Denmark. I mean, these were true leaders that had devoted themselves to tackling the AIDS problem, which was huge. I mean, I remember how huge it was when it first came out. And, you know, going in into the developing countries and making a difference there. I mean, some of these can never be replaced. And they were on that flight. I think there was at least 6 or 12 of them.
Well, at the same time, you know, we had that done, but at the same time, we had another massive airstrike and a drone strike into Pakistan, and we killed a whole bunch of people over there, too. So, I mean, all this stuff, the double standards got to quit. But on the reports, and we'd worked with CBS News before, it was Mark Phillips reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, we worked with Mark Phillips, well, that's back in 97 or 98.
New York Times.
Yeah, and then how with CBS News and 60 Minutes and Dan Rather and all of those guys, Morally Safer. I mean, there was a good thing. A lot of stuff, 60 Minutes, had got onto this a lot of times, as did Nightline and Dateline.
Oh, yeah. I met Morally, you know, and quite a few of them being at a hearing with Congressman Shays. I think we just need to get them the current info and get them turned on to the story. And, you know, it does need to come out of more of them. One source, Kaufman's doing what he can to bring it up in hearings. We need to get Roe to back up Kaufman. You know, we need more of them to take on, you know, the Gulf War issue, not just one congressman. Roe knows our situation. He should be bringing it up more. Some of the other doctors on the VA committees.
Has there been any response to Jim Binda's incredible work on our behalf yet? I mean, opened up the can of worms, made it loud and clear, and made perfect recommendations to fix anything. Is anybody listening or looking at Jim?
Well, right now what happened was when they had the conference between the House and Senate, you know, priority things have to be taken care of in order, and the VA scandal, the wait list, was top of the list. What's holding that up is the cost factor, and until they get that solved, it seems like we're kind of sluggish in getting other issues, like our bill for correcting the problem with Iraq. I mean, they all are aware of it. We encourage our vets to keep contacting up in the D.C. offices, keep gently prodding them.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying, you know, the problems with the RAC specifically, but Jim Binns's recommendations on fixing the VA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the best I've seen out by anybody within the system.
Yeah.
he identified it and put it out there. Of course, he's been doing that for years and years and years.
Well, and people's got to understand, Jim Benz is a Vietnam vet. Again, we have Vietnam vets that have been involved helping us. And, you know, I'm really upset when people don't think that the Vietnam vets are hearing us. VVA supported the Gulf War veterans. They have supported every group that has followed the Vietnam vets. VVA has stood up. AMVETS has stood up, you know, in support of us. Their president, their commander is a Gulf War vet, Marine. I get really upset when I hear other people putting down the other organizations. You're not going to get help if you put them down. You have to be courteous. You have to provide them the info and ask for their support. We have support on our bills from the different organizations. And when I see certain people putting other organizations down, it's really frustrating to me. I go, it's not appropriate. It's just not appropriate. You have to work in a cooperative spirit and don't put other organizations down. And so that's my little spill on that today. We cover a lot of territory when we get in these discussions. I want to give a few minutes. Did anybody call in? Did anybody call in to the show tonight? We got 10 minutes, I think, remaining, if that's correct, Doug.
Yeah, we got, I don't know, 5 or 7 minutes, 6 minutes, I don't know, 888-874-4888. I mean, there's so much happening. I think the problem we run into and what I'm picking up on is so many veterans and so many family members have been identifying these problems for so long and asking for help.
And the frustration is so high.
The frustration has been beyond comprehension. And then all of a sudden it broke loose now, and the expectation is that, okay, we know everything's out there in the open, now let's fix it. And it's going to take time to fix it, and for me, that's flustering.
Yeah, because we've worked so hard for so many years, decades now.
You know, I come back to the same thing. When the decision was made, and Andres has reported this, and Herb Smith has reported this, and Tom has reported it, and Julie has reported it. When the senior command staff was making the conscious decision to disregard everything that was happening by choice, we knew it was going to be a nightmare. And I'm still hoping that the senior leadership can jump up now and help us. I mean, they've got to come in and help us. It can't be a handful of junior field grade officers. And I mean, primarily what, senior NCOs, wasn't it? Isn't that where most of the crux of the people have been working on this? Or?
Oh, we've had NCOs. We've had enlisted. We've had the field grade, you know. Nothing higher than that, very few. if they're there, they're working quietly.
I mean, we had, you know, again, we got a, you know, going back with Bernie Sanders, he had an incredible general on his staff that was helping from day one. But
yeah. What
can you say? I mean, we're looking at, you know, Bernie Sanders and Chris Shays. I mean, without them, without Dennis Kucinich, where would we be at all? I mean, they were key people.
Yeah, and then they didn't get reelected, you know, so... You know, vets, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I tell you, be careful. Talk to them. Find out, you know, where they really stand. Get a rapport going. The rapport is so important. And, you know, we've got to quit. I'm so frustrated, like most of America, with our political system right now. We have such a division. We have those on the far right, the far left. We have very few in the middle working together, the moderates coming together. I see so few that are able to be moderates and work together, no matter which party. And we've got to tell them, we're tired of this. We're tired of the far right being over here, and we're tired of the far left. Come together, do the people's business. Do the business that's needed for the veterans, for the people of our country, and for the people that are getting on to the thing of social welfare and getting so negative about that. We have a lot of people that have been unemployed for a long time. To not provide food stamps, to not continue something to help the holding on spirit, to help those people, does our country no good. I wish, and it was talked about early on that I should get involved and run. I didn't at the time think that was even possible. And what the heck, you look at politics and you go, great, well, you go crazy. But, you know, we need good people up there. And it doesn't matter which side politically, they need to work together. They need to see the value of the country coming together. The rating of the senators and the reps right now is the lowest I've ever seen in my lifetime, Doug. And probably yours, too.
Well, you and I are only a year apart, so. But I got, yeah, I mean, you were the one that brought me in where I got active in the congressional stuff once I met you guys.
Yeah.
Because I was so deep inside.
And to have so many people just against a president. You know, the president's elected, he's going to be there, people. Throwing negative things out there is not helping anybody. Okay? And taking political sides and getting juiced up and repeating whatever the political side says does not get us anywhere in this situation. We have to be the Americans, the veterans, to speak common sense that, hey, you guys, you're answerable to all the voters in the country. And you're not standing up for X, Y, Y, Z. And, you know, to have such... I mean, I'm boggled. You know, I'm pretty well a moderate. Okay, Doug, I've been a Republican, I've been a Democrat, I've been a moderate. You know, whatever. I'm more independent and make judgments. But to be against, you know, helping refugees that are fleeing... because they're scared for their life.
Well, you know, we're at the end of the night tonight. Next week, our plan is to talk with some lawyers about the VA situation, and we'll see what all come about. Always, this radio network is moving forward. Warrior Connection, primary information for the veteran. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Thanks,
Denise.
Thank
you all. Keep the positive spirit, please.